Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Support. Curtis Fleming is there on the edge of the area. Fleming for Craig Hignett. Hit it, Higgy. Higgy hits the trap.
Abanelli coming alive again. Janino wants the ball played to him. Abanelli spots out.
Hello and welcome to the Ball Breakdown Podcast, the opposition preview show. And this week we're chatting to Martin from All Stats, aren't we, to get a little bit more about Leeds United. Martin, thanks so much for coming on. It's been a while since we last obviously played each other, obviously, and it was in December. And you guys have went on a crazy run, obviously, by like the last couple of games, but we won't mention that. I'd love for you to get us up to speed about Leeds since we last played each other and just see how things have developed from there.
So yeah, first of all, thank you very much for having me on. It's been a pleasure. I enjoyed speaking to you on our discussion the other night when you came on our show as well, so we appreciate that. So yeah, the season has been pretty full on, and yeah, we've had some good times, especially in 2024. We've had a pretty crazy run throughout this calendar year. There was a little bit of a blip around Christmas time, but what we got over that, and we built a really good foundation for the rest of the season, and we really did narrow the gap between us and the top teams, who were at that point, it was Leicester, who at one point was 17 points ahead of us. And so we've done a really good job to close that gap and to really show that we're in business in the league. And yeah, the past few games haven't been the best, so I'm sure Borough fans were thinking this is a good time to play us, and I wouldn't blame you at all, because we have looked shaky in the past few games, certainly.
Yeah, I would love to know what you're putting that down to, because it was 1-5, you know, and you went a massive unbeaten run. At home, you're looking really strong at the moment as well. But what are you putting that 1-5 down to?
Well, it's been a combination of things, and one big thing has been players being quite tired. They've had the first team has been quite heavily used, and there hasn't been a load of rotation in the squad. Although our first 11 is very strong, the team behind that isn't probably the best, and it's been hard to bring them in without weakening the squad. And that has definitely told in these last four or five fixtures. We've had players who we've had to rely on quite a lot, and who played a lot of games, like Jorginho Rutter, Crescencio Somerville, players like those who have played a lot of games and haven't had much of a break. So it's been difficult. And also, on top of that, not long ago, Jorginho Rutter had to have some surgery for a hernia, which had him out for a little bit, and we had to bring him straight back into the squad as well. So he didn't really have much of a break. I think he had like 10 days after the surgery, and then he was back in the squad playing and after the international break. So yeah, the players haven't had a lot of a break. You've got players like Ethan Ampadu, who've played nearly every minute of the season so far. Joe Roden as well, been ever present at the back. In the fullback spots, we've got a number of players who are quite injury prone. So we've got Junior Firpo at left back, who has, touch wood, been pretty fit for a while now. I've probably just jinxed that. But then we've also got Sam Byram, who's a Leeds lad, but he's also pretty injury prone. And we've brought in Connor Roberts on loan from Burnley, who is also hasn't had an injury since he's been in. He's only been with us since January. Not really played a whole lot of football, to be honest. And then he got injured just when he was about to be starting to be used a bit more. So yeah, that's one of the biggest things, I think, for me. And it's also, I think at this stage of the season, I think the players are starting to feel a bit of the pressure behind it. It's quite a young squad of overall. Obviously, we've got Archie Gray, who's been standout young player of the league this year, really. He's just recently won the Young Player of the Season and the Apprentice of the Season in the EFL Awards. Yeah. So he's a very young lad. Routere is only 21 himself. We've got other young guys, like even though Ethan Ampadu has played a lot of football, he's also quite young himself. He's only 23, 24, just turned 24, I think. So overall, we've got a pretty young squad, and that has told. So I think that's the biggest thing for me, is combination of the amount of games that we've played and just the naivety of the youth in the squad, I think. And that has just culminated into a bit of a bad, sticky situation, which I'm hoping we do pull through of, because we need to at the moment.
Yeah, well, it's very close, isn't it? I mean, at the top four, as we're recording now, Southampton are winning as well, so that gets a little bit tighter in that race. I want to ask you a quick question about this young Leeds team, because you mentioned there on Ethan Ampadu, Archie Gray, Router as well. Are you excited a little bit about what the potential could be with this squad? I know like the Premier League is a big step up, but does it excite you a little bit that you've got these players just cropping up out of nowhere?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. I mean, we can't really say that Routier has popped up out of nowhere, because we did pay a bit of money for him.
A lot of money, yeah.
So some will bandy about 35, 40 million. It was just short of 30 million that we paid for him, plus add-ons, which I don't think those add-ons will ever get met. But yeah, we still paid a lot of money for him comparative to the rest of the league. But yeah, he got a lot of money. But Archie Gray, definitely. The potential on that lad is sky high. He's probably best used as a central midfielder, but we've been using him as a right back for most of the year because we've had the need to. Because we, at the start of the season, we were probably looking to use, I even forget his name now because he's left us. He went back to Spurs and then he went back on loan to someone in Italy. That's right, yeah. My memory's terrible. Jed Spence had some injury concerns when he came in. He was out for a good long spell. And then when he was fit to come into the team, he was playing out of position at left back because Archie Gray had taken the position which was going to be his, because we needed to fill that spot. And Gray has done fantastic in that position. He's really took to it really quickly and made that position his own. But he's probably best suited to play as a central midfielder. I'd probably say he's like a box-to-box player, so he's got a lot of potential in that sort of position, crashing the box and combining with the wide players and the fullback as well. He's just got everything to his game at such a young age. He's not long ago turned 18. I mean, he had to get dressed by himself, because when you're under 18, you can't get dressed in the same changing room as the rest of the players. So that was quite amusing. But yeah, so he's a massive star. But the player who excites me the most watching Leeds play is Jorginho Routere. As any of the fans of our podcast will know, I'm a massive fan of the guy. And even before we'd really seen him play, I'd watched a lot of him play because we do like scouting articles and things along those lines. So I'd watched a lot of his football before he came to us, and he didn't really get a shot in the Premier League. He was barely used. I think he was struggling to adapt a bit to England at quite a young age. He was only like 20 when he came to the country, so he did struggle with that for a while, but he just didn't get the shot really in the Premier League. But I do think that he will take to the Premier League like a duck to water. He's such an exciting player to watch. He's very difficult to stop when he gets moving with the ball. He's not like the most explosive player, but he uses physicality really well to bundle through challenges, and he's got really good close control, really good at moving the ball and manipulating around it without even seeming to do a whole lot. If somehow managed to get past his player, he's just got a lot to his game, which is to love. And he's been our creative spark throughout the season, and he's been our top assister, and he's also within the team of the season for the EFL Awards as well. So that just shows how effective he has been for us. Some of our fans will complain about his finishing ability, which admittedly hasn't been the best. But for me, that's not his role in the side. His role in the side is to be the creator, to drive us forward, dribble past players, lay on the ball to others, and generally make us tick. And when he's playing well, Leeds generally play well. So when he has been going through a sticky spell, when he's been having the fitness concerns, then that has affected us as well as a team. But yeah, overall, I am quite excited about the potential in this squad. And I just hope that we can make it to the Premier League, because if we don't, we may end up having to sell a lot of these stars who have excited us, hopefully for a fair bit of money. But still, it wouldn't be good to dismantle this squad.
Yeah, 100%. Like, the money's great, isn't it? But like, for a fan, you're just like, I really want to see these players keep playing for us. I really didn't want to sell Chuba, but we did in the end to Ajax and brought in Morgan Rodgers, and then we were really enjoying Morgan. Then he's gone on to Aston Villa, and now he looks great. So it's like, I can definitely feel that when you're selling someone on, it really does hurt. But is there any other players that you would like Borough fans to keep an eye on? Is there anyone that's underrated that doesn't really get the press that they deserve?
I think most of our squad have been pretty strong. Junior Firpo is probably one who I would say is probably the underrated part, because he really helps things tick at left back. And we do struggle when he isn't in the side, because he's our only left-footed player who we can play at left back. Sam Byram has played there, but he's naturally a right back. And we've even had Archie Gray play there in a couple of moments in games. So he's our only left back that we've got in the squad. So when he's out, we do feel a miss, because he's the only one who can get good deliveries into the box from the left side. And he has a really good relationship with all of our left-sided players in midfield. He combines well with Glenn Kamara, and he combines really well with Crescencio Somerville further up, who I think is probably the one which most fans would be scared of facing, because he's just such an electric player. Can't forget about him when we talk about our forward players, because he's just been superb. Picks him up for a snip, really. We barely paid anything for him. I think it was an undisclosed fee, but it wasn't a lot. He wasn't really rated when he came through to us from, I think, a club in Holland. Mm-hmm. And yeah, he's been fantastic since he broke into the side. He broke in properly last year under Jesse Marsh. Oh, I wish I hadn't had to say his name. but yeah, that's probably the main one I would say who is underrated. I think most of the players in our squad are rated as they should be, because we've done quite well this year. So most of the players in our squad are good on their day. And he's the main one who I'd say is maybe underrated.
I want to chat about the manager for a moment, because at the start of the season, I remember speaking to you guys and it was turmoil in the summer. You didn't know, we knew it was going to be Farke who was going to take over, but then it took a while for it to be confirmed. You had the sale of the club, that had everything that's going on. But Daniel Farke came in, and if you haven't watched Leeds at all this season, I would love for you to explain how he's got you guys set up, what to expect from this team, and also how he's developed it as well over the season.
So yeah, that's quite an interesting topic, is this. Well, first of all, the base formation is a 4-2-3-1, and it does generally reflect that, although you will tend to see one of the midfielders stick a little bit deeper, and that's at the moment has been Ilya Gruev, and Glenn Kamara will be the one who's getting further forward, acting more of a box-to-box rather than a pivot player. We, at the start of the season, we would have one of our fullbacks who was tucking in a little bit more, which would at the start of the season was actually the left back area, when Sam Byram was the one who was inverting into midfield. But as the season's gone on, that sort of surround, and we've now had the left sided player in Junior Firpo. Now we've got him in the team playing as the wide side right back, where Archie Gray is one where he's inverting, which makes sense because he's a midfielder by trade. So you want him in the central areas to try to affect things. So that's the way we generally build up, is with that sort of setup. Two ball-playing centre-backs in the middle. One who was generally more progressive in the start of the season was Pascal Strauch, who unfortunately is injured. But he's, for me, our best centre-back. Some Leeds fans would say differently, but for me, he's our best centre-back. Ethan Ampadu has come in centre-back to replace him when he got injured, along with Joe Roden, and those two combined are very, very good on the ball. They're good carrying the ball out from the back to try to break through presses. And they've got a reasonable amount of press resistance. I'd say Ampadu is probably better on that side of things than Joe Roden is, but he's also been developing that as the season's gone on. And then when you get through to the final third, there's a lot of vibes in the final third, really. There's not really, you see a lot of concerted patterns of play that you get some managers who will practice to try to get the most out of the players. But since we have elite attackers for the division, I feel Daniel Farke has not wanted to interfere with that too much and just let their natural patterns of play come out. So he's given a lot of freedom to the attacking players that we've got in Routier and Somerville. They've got a lot of freedom in their movements. They'll combine a lot of each other. Routier will sometimes be central, sometimes he'll be on the right side and sometimes on the left side. So he'll get around all over, just trying to affect play where he can. You've got a bit more of a set role for Dan James when he plays. He's a bit more of a limited winger, so you don't want to give him as much freedom as the other ones, because he is best at doing the job which he has, which is to stick wide, hold width, and try to beat his man and get balls into the box. And sometimes when he gets a chance to score goals, and he has been quite effective at that role for us. The striking partners have been a bit up and down. At the start of the season, we had Joel Pirot, who is quite a well-known name in this division for what he did at Swansea for the past few years. But he's not really a natural fit for what Daniel Farker wants from his number nine. If anyone's watching play at Swansea, he's more of a second striker. So he will be one who will drop a little bit deeper than the main forward, look to link up play and try to combine things. He's very good at finishing. That's probably his best aspect of his game. But he doesn't do the things that you want a lone centre-forward to do. He doesn't occupy centre-backs well. He doesn't have the most mobility and he doesn't have the most physicality. So he's in the press. He's quite weak. So that has been a big, big part, which has evolved as the season's gone on. Towards the start of the season, Patrick Bamford wasn't in the team at all. He's had some pretty bad problems with injury over the past few years. Again, he's another player who Borough fans will know. He's played for you guys as well. So, you know what Bamford can bring to a side. But he has had problems with injuries over the past few years. And so he wasn't playing much for the start. But then around Christmas time, just after Christmas, he started to get a run in the team more and had a really prolific area of the game where he was doing a lot to score goals. And you may remember the goal that he scored in the cup against Peterborough. That's an absolute superb goal, probably goal of the season, ridiculous goal. 100%. So yeah, he's the big thing which he brings to Leeds when he's playing is his first of all pressing. He's got one of the best work rates in squad from that position, and his pressing intelligence is up there with the best in the league, probably in the Premier League as well when he's at his form. But he's knocking on a bit now, so he doesn't quite have that pace that he did have. Yeah, he was never blessed with the most pace, but he still did still have some pace, and that little bit of pace that he did have has gone now. So he's not quite as effective at running behind as he once was, but he is still a very good player. But he also is going through a bit of a sticky spell at the moment, and he's been getting the fans on his back quite a lot. I still love him, but a lot of fans do get on his back quite a lot, which I can understand. It's a high-pressure situation. But yeah, overall, we've been playing some very good football, but I think the main thing which has been our defensive stability throughout this calendar year, that's been the thing which has built our good end to the season, is really how solid we have been at not allowing high-quality chances against us. Most games this calendar year, we've not been allowing more than 0.5 or 0.6 XG, and that has really told, because we have barely conceded any goals in this run. And I think it took us until about 3 or 4 weeks ago to concede our first goal from open play, which is just phenomenal. We went about 3 months of this calendar year without conceding from open play. So that was the biggest part which put this good run together. And that has gone away a little bit recently. So I'm hoping that we can get that bedrock back and finish off the season well.
Yeah, and it's, you know, there's only 3 or 4 games left for you guys. The tension is, you could cut it with a knife, to be honest. Like, it's actually scary. You must be like, I don't know how you're keeping calm, to be honest. I would have probably lost my head by now. But we're going to Monday night and a game really where both teams create plenty of chances. I know you said it was vibes. And when I look at the side, I'm thinking, good Lord, there's a lot of pace in the wide areas for Leeds. But both of us are in the top three for biggest chances created. We're also in the top two for biggest chances missed. So as you can tell, that is clearly like a blessing and a curse for us. We don't know how to put the ball in the back of the net. But I would love to know where your head's at for the game on Monday. What's your prediction? I know you don't do predictions on your show, but I would love to hear your prediction, what you would think Leeds are going to do on Monday, and if you have a result in mind.
Well, first of all, I'm very much looking forward to the game. I'm a big fan of Michael Carrick and the football he's got you playing. As you said, he's got you creating a lot of chances, sometimes not finishing off those chances, but that's not his job. His job is just to get the team to create those chances and then it's to players to finish them. So yeah, we can relate with that as well. We have struggled to put our chances away in the past month, I'd say. So that has been a big issue for us. But with regards to this fixture, it's definitely going to be a hotly contested one. I do see there being a lot of chances created for both sides. Both sides will be pressing relatively high. I wouldn't imagine you to press as aggressively as what we do. But both sides will still look to force their opponents to make mistakes and try to win the ball in advanced areas. I want to say you guys should be pretty confident at the moment. This Gabe Fisher could really go either way. Both teams have the ability to cut open the other side, and it's very difficult for me to say who's going to win this one. Yeah, on our show we don't like making predictions, but I'm not on our show, so I don't mind in this one. So I would probably say, as boring as it sounds, it's going to be a draw. Yes, I was going to say probably a 2-2 is what I was, if I had to put a scoreline in mind, would be around that.
Yeah, and to be fair, I was going to say 1-1, to be honest. I absolutely echo everything you said there on the game. That one at Elland Road was really fun to watch. You know, when the goal from those early goals we played out, got the ball out wide, and like last score, great goal. And obviously game state, you know, is massive in that, and I felt like we threw it away in some aspects of it. But you know, when you get punished, don't you, at this level, and we did by giving away a penalty, we did kind of give Leeds the result in the end. But it was a really fun game, and I think fans should probably be excited by this, especially the neutral. But now that we've both said like we're expecting goals, it'll probably be a 0-0 draw, long balls into the channels, and nothing happens at all. Like, the ball is out of field for the most part. But I'm going to go 1-1, you go 2-2. But one final question I've got to ask you, Martin, is just where can people find All Stats Aren't We as a show?
So we've got a podcast which is distributed through Acast, but it's on all the different podcast channels. So All Stats Aren't We is on Apple Music, on Spotify, all the rest of the things that you could think of. And our Twitter handle is @AllStatsAntWe.
Brilliant. Your show is so good. It's so insightful. I really enjoy listening to you guys as well. So if you do want to listen to a really good show, do listen to All Stats Aren't We as well. But man, thank you so much for joining me. But Boroughface Leeds, hopefully trying to spoil the party, but based on our predictions, we're thinking it's going to be a draw. You never know, keep everyone in it, but it'll keep it tasty. But man, thank you so much for joining me as always. And to our listeners and viewers, don't forget to subscribe, give us a 5-star rating on your podcast provider, and also subscribe to All Stats Aren't We as well for another bit of football content. But for right now, this has been the Borough Breakdown podcast, and that was our Borough Match Day Chatter in the pod. Up the Borough.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.